Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea. I'm joined by Ellison Wiest. Hello, Ellison.
Hey, Sarah.
So how is summer vacation with the three young grandkids?
Very, very busy. Lots of camps, sleepovers, most of them not here, fortunately.
Oh, lucky you. We were always like the sleepover central.
I know you were. Yeah, yeah. No, I think that it's just sometimes too chaotic here, but Blythe is 20 months old and she's a mover and a shaker. She has no fear. So that's been a little crazy. But the great thing is this week, for 5 days, it's just one generation here. Ooh. Carol and the kids are down at the beach, so Carl and I are by ourselves.
Oh my gosh. And you're like, wait, what's that noise? Oh, it's my own thoughts that I can finally hear.
Yeah, sometimes we sort of look at each other like, who are you again? Adult conversation.
Oh my gosh. But you know you love living in a multi-generational house, right? Silence.
Most of the time I do. You're right. You're right. And I want to hear about your pickleball because, as you know, that is huge in the town I live in South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am just really searching out now Pickleball Anonymous because I am thoroughly addicted. And I mean, if I could, I would play every single day, and I might play more than once a day if I could. It never grows old. So my new thing is, so the pickleball courts that I have ended up going to most often are up in Vancouver, Washington, which is, you know, Ellison, just across the Columbia River from Portland. Right. So, you know, without traffic, it's, I don't know, 15, 20 minute drive. So anyway, so I go and play pickleball, and then that is about 3/4 of the way to the pond where I swim. So then I change into my swimsuit in my car at the courts and then drive and go swimming.
No sound of whoop, whoop behind you.
No.
For an indecent exposure.
Yes, no. Thankfully, nicely tinted windows in the back seat. And I mean, there are changing rooms at the pond, but there's no lockers. So then that would kind of, I just don't trust leaving my stuff in the locker. So the only thing I do is leave my flip-flops on the beach and hope that nobody takes them. Mm-hmm. So I play pickleball for anywhere from 90 minutes to I kind of tear myself away after about 2 hours because I don't want to overdo my back. And to some people, 2 hours might be overdoing it on my back. I don't know. Don't judge me. and then go swim for, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. And it's funny because I wear my Coros Apex GPS and while I play so that I can know the time and then while I swim. And so then, but it doesn't have a pickleball setting. Give them time. I'm sure they will if I have anything to do with it on the watch. And so then, but it keeps track of steps. So then when I download my data after my swim, it shows like how many yards I swam and then how many steps I took.
Wow.
even though it says swim.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, oh, look, she took 3,200 steps while she swam.
Gotta love this technology.
Yeah. 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 So it boosts my calorie count, at least, if that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, I've even played hooky a few times and go up and play on weekday mornings and then swim. And I tell myself it's okay because by going swimming, then I'm missing the bulk of the commuter traffic headed south into the city.
Definitely, which was getting tougher and tougher the longer I was there.
Yes, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. And there's still times that I get stuck in traffic and I just have to tell myself it's okay. So yeah. 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 But gosh, it is amazing to me how many people play pickleball on a weekday. It is a mob scene there sometimes.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a fair number of retirees, but I don't know. But then it was funny. I was saying to some guy at the course the other day, and he goes, oh, it'll clear out, you know, pretty soon. I said, oh, are a lot of teachers, you know, are a lot of these people teachers? And so they're going to be going back to work. He goes, oh, no, they're going off to like Arizona or some other place where they have a second home.
I'm like, right.
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah. Well, you'd love it down here. I think Aiken's got about 28,000 people and 3 pickleball courts. I mean, big, you know, big, like, you know, double, triple. Oh. Yeah. Facilities.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So different. So you're saying like 2 or 3 places around town.
Yes, where you can go. In fact, the reason I know that is because mm-hmm. I was supposed to take an intro class and I just assumed that it was the one closest to me, went bebopping over there only to find out that I was wrong, and then had to drive what turned out to be about a 20-minute drive because I didn't know where I was going to get to the other place. And then somebody else said, well, the next one will be at such and such, because I didn't get the start. Oh. I got there mm-hmm. so late.
Yeah. 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 Wow. And you're mm-hmm. like, wow, I had no idea.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get on to the topic, which is, this is the second part of a 2-part series called Running Through the Ages. Kicked off on the August 2nd episode of our sister podcast, one of our sister podcasts, AMR Trains. So these 2 episodes spotlight women representing every decade of life. On Trains, Dimity and the other AMR, Sarah, talked to a runner in her teens, 20s, and 30s. And on this episode, you and I are going to be chatting with a woman runner in her 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. We've chosen women with a variety of backgrounds to share their stories as runners right now at whatever stage of life they're in. Our first guest is Carrie Sazma, a 42-year-old in Minneapolis who is the mother of 3 fur babies, an avid runner, Peloton rider, and as Ellison has alluded to, knitter. Carrie is signed up to run a popular hometown race this fall, the Twin Cities 10 Mile. Thanks for talking with us, Carrie.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get into this.
Good. Well, we're going to start off slowly. You have 1 more cat than I do. Tell us about your cats briefly.
Sure, I'd love to. Who doesn't love to talk about their fur babies? I have 3 cats. Georgie, I've had for a while now. She was my original cat. She's just a brown tabby cat, brown and striped cat. And then I have 2 rag dolls who I adopted from some good friends. They did not get along with the dogs in the household. So I took them into a more cat-friendly household, Bella and Peter. So we have a lot going on. They all have very different personalities, you know, and they all love the drama, just like their mom.
Well, what do you do for work?
I work for a large Fortune 500 company in the Twin Cities area. I'm a portfolio manager, which basically means I'm a marketing manager. I manage a brand of furnace filters. Super exciting stuff.
Well, then when do you get to run during the day? Are you a morning runner, evening?
Yeah, you know, I try to fit it in whenever I can. I'm not a huge morning runner. That is something I aspire to someday. I do work remotely most days. I work go into the office about once a week now. So I try to get in over my lunch hour. That's my favorite time to run.
All right. So how did you get started running?
Great question. I have always wanted to be a runner. I feel like I've never been a very good runner. And I'm using air quotes when I do that. Because I've always, you know, it would be too hard, or I wouldn't be able to finish the full distance, whatever it might be. But I wasn't really following a training plan, I guess. I was just doing it and hoping that it would just get better. When I got the Peloton right before the pandemic hit, and then the pandemic hit, and I was looking for more things to do and get outside more, I looked into getting a running coach who could help me be a runner. I used to do CrossFit a long time ago, and I would always get nervous when I would see running on the whiteboard because I was so slow. And so that really stressed me out, and I wanted to not have that stressful feeling. And I had stopped doing CrossFit when the pandemic hit, and I was just looking for something to keep me going and get me active when we were all stuck at home.
So what prompted you to hire a coach then, if I'm hearing you right, is to sort of get you over some of that fear and set you in the right direction?
Yeah, I think get me over that fear and be comfortable, I think, with the level that I'm at. But also, I had trained for a half marathon a million years ago, and I got a stress fracture and I'd broken my foot once. So I wanted to do it in a way where I wasn't injuring myself, and I was afraid that I was going, doing too much or, too much stress without really thinking about how to jump into running appropriately for my level, my body, et cetera.
So then I can imagine it's very different than working with a coach than when you were doing it on your own.
Yes, it is very different. And I love it. I love it because I need that structure. And I think that I struggled before when I would just, I'm going to go out for a run because I need structure. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to know the why behind what I'm doing. I think that's, part of me being a marketer is it's always the trying to figure out the why. Why do we do anything? And so that is huge for me. And being able to talk to someone and tell them my fears. I broke my foot a couple of Thanksgivings ago, and I was out doing my own turkey trot on a Thanksgiving, and I rolled my foot and I broke my foot. Oh. And I had a lot of mental issues after that of going back outside and running. And so having a coach to talk to about that, who, has been through some injuries and knowing, how to kind of get past that has been really helpful. But also someone to help celebrate small victories, like going back out for my first outside run after that, was really helpful. And I've been able to see improvements. I talked about, I don't like running in CrossFit because I was so slow. She has really encouraged me to embrace that slow run because that's what really makes us better. You can run for a much longer time, at a slower pace, that's how we build up that endurance. So being able to understand that and be okay with that, or be okay with taking the walking intervals or whatever it might be, because I know that it's helping me get to the next level, that has been really, really good as well.
Excellent. Well, I know that the Twin Cities is full of very vibrant, active folks.
It's amazing. I love living in Minneapolis. I'm actually in Denver right now. I was at the Chicks concert at Red Rocks last night. So just came back in from a hike. I did not run in this elevation, but yes, I love it. I love being outside. The Twin Cities is amazing. We have so many lakes. It really is the land of 10,000 lakes. So many places to go out and run.
Oh, cool. So have you run the Twin Cities 10 mile or any of the other Twin Cities in Motion races before?
Yes, I have. I did the 10 mile again a million years ago. Maybe not as many million as when I got the stress fracture when I was training for Grandma's Marathon in Duluth. But and then I've done a couple of the Twin Cities in Motion runs as recently. I did the Women Run the Twin Cities or Women Run the Cities earlier this year. And I think I did one other one that I'm blanking on right now, but they're very well organized. I love that. And I like the fact that they also have a cause tied to them. I was able to donate a ton of shoes to the last one. Nice. It's fun. You go pick up your race packet at, Surly Brewing. Or Summit Brewing. Sorry. I said the wrong one. Summit Brewing. Better get it right. So you can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm intrigued that you are using a coach. A lot of people hire a coach, I'm going to do a marathon or, want to come back from pregnancy or training for an ultra or something. I'm intrigued that you have a coach with kind of just an open-ended, get me into running, support me. Talk a little bit about that because do you truly consider yourself that you were not a runner before you had the coach?
Yes, I did. I would say I was not a runner at all. And I sometimes still struggle with, I'm a runner now. I didn't have anything in mind when I started working with her. But for me, it was, I feel like we can always learn, and sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know how to do this best on my own, but I want to learn something. Like when I learned how to knit, I had somebody teach me how to knit. In a sense, I likened it to that. Like, I just wanted someone who could teach me how to do it the right way so that I didn't end up not liking running or, disliking running, hating running, whatever it is. And so that was really what I wanted to do. And, we were all in that time and I'm single, not married. So living at home alone, I wanted to be able to have something, to keep me active during the pandemic. And I wanted to be able to spend the time outside. And I just felt that working with a coach was really going to be the best for me. I was really unsure, you know, what it was going to be like when I first started working with her. And I probably at the time would never have guessed that I'd still be working with her, I guess, two years down the road, but it's been fantastic.
Well, good on you for also sort of looking at yourself, looking after yourself. So that makes me think, how has your concept of self-care changed since you turned 40?
Oh, gosh. When I was thinking about being on this podcast, I was trying to think about, you know, how is running different for me now? And there's a lot of different ways. I would say self-care, I'm a huge proponent of. You know, I never understand those people who don't take their vacation time or don't take their lunch time. You know, like, we need that self-care. And those are like the basics of self-care, is taking time away from work. Work is not life. But my self-care has really changed to exercising for me now isn't to get skinny. It is because it makes me feel so much better. And I think that my perspective on running would, you know, that was something that I would turn to in the past because that's great cardio and I can burn a lot of calories, has really turned out to be, this is something I can do to relieve my stress. So I think, you know, in my 40s, that was a huge light switch that really flipped for me, is just thinking about it differently. Granted, I want to be healthy and I want to be in shape. But for me, a lot of that is the mental piece. And I know that exercise is a huge critical component to my mental health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nice. So is CrossFit still a part of your life? I mean, have you gone back and said, yes, here I am, the slow runner, love me?
I haven't gone back, mostly because I really do love my Peloton. And I have that now, and there's so many, you know, great pieces of content on there. And I think what I loved most about CrossFit was the heavy weights. So I do have a barbell in my garage, and I have weights in my garage. So when I get the hankering to throw around some heavy weights, I do that. But the CrossFit game started today, so I've already been watching a little bit. So I enjoy it because I think it's a really great community. And a lot of my friends still do it, but you know, I feel like everything else, we evolve, and I've evolved away from the CrossFit for a form of fitness myself.
Hmm. Well, I've got about 20 something years on you, Carrie, and I can say that I loved running in my 40s and into my 50s. So you've got a lot to look forward to. And I was just wondering if you have some goals that you've set up for your running, you know, over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think the biggest goal for me would be doing a half marathon. I think I have, I've already kind of said probably running a full marathon is just not in the cards for me, which I'm okay with, because I don't want to spend a couple hours every Saturday running, you know, to prepare for that. That's mostly the selfishness of it. So a goal would be to run a half marathon. And frankly, a goal would just to be remain consistent. Mm-hmm. And have running be, continue to be something that is a form of self-care for myself. I mean, really, those are truly the goals for myself. I don't need to win any medals. I don't need to be the fastest. When I think about, I guess I would like to run X number of miles without stopping, mm-hmm. right? Or without having to walk. Those are the goals that are important to me mm-hmm. now. It's not so much, you know, being the fastest runner or winning any sort of races. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So does your coach, I assume you're on the plan for the 10 mile now. Do you know what your longest pre-race run is going to be?
I don't know. I don't get all my runs super planned in advance. She uh-huh. wrote all my, or she put all of my August runs in, uh-huh. and which is a lot. That's normally I only get them a week in advance. So it's kind of okay. crazy. But yeah, I don't know what it will be, but wow. hopefully it won't be too many 2 hour plus runs on Saturdays. Uh-huh. I got to get my knitting in too.
Wow, you're my kind of girl. I'll see you on Ravelry.
Oh, yes, Allison, for sure. We have to catch up on Ravelry. I got to see what you're doing. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, Carrie, well, Dimity and I are going to be at the Twin Cities Marathon Expo and
fantastic.
Hosting a podcast party. So we hope you'll join us. I'll be on Saturday, October 1st.
Yes, I will love to stop by and say hello. Yeah.
Yes, break away from the kitties and the knitting and come see us and see how the podcast gets made. Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with all your miles this month, Carrie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye.
Ellison and I will be right back with our next guest after this break. Stick with us.
Our next guest is Lorraine Stewart. I met her in Missoula, Montana. She and her wonderful husband had traveled there from their home outside of Nashville for Lorraine to run the marathon. 51 years young, Lorraine is in pursuit of doing all six of the Abbott World Marathon Majors. She's a homemaker with two grown children. And like our first guest, Lorraine is working with a coach. I'm so delighted you could join us, Lorraine. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you invited me.
Hey, Lorraine, it's Ellison. And I wanted to know, how long have you been a runner and what got you started running?
Yes, that's a great question. It's been about 13, 14 years. And unlike Carrie, your previous guest, I never aspired to be a runner. I never liked running in school. You know, you did a 50-yard dash and I just want to get it finished. But I have a good friend named Jasenia Bishop, and she had recently gotten married, and as has happened to many newly married people, she had gained some weight. So she asked me for some suggestions on what she could do to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. And although I was not a runner, I always have been health conscious and I like to do exercise. So we started meeting at a local park that was almost a mile path. And we started meeting at the there to walk. We just mm-hmm. walked for mm-hmm. several months. We just did some walking. Mm-hmm. And then one day she turns to me and says, "Hey, do you want to run the next lap?"
Mm.
Yes. And I'm like, "No, I don't want to run the next lap." But she had been a runner in school, so all the walking she was tired of. She was ready to get some energy going. She was ready to run. So the next time we got together, she convinced me, "Come on, let's just try. Let's run." So I said, "Okay, but mm-hmm. if I need to stop, I'm going to stop." Mm-hmm. So I ran, and halfway through, I stopped thinking about just appeasing her, Jasenia, and I started thinking about, "Wow, can I really run this whole almost mile of a lap?" And I did it, and I've been running ever since.
Wow. Well, kudos to Jasenia for getting you started.
Yes.
So, the Abbott World Marathon Majors, which is such a mouthful of a thing, but talk about a big goal. So we'd love for you to tell us about that pursuit, and including telling us your plans for tackling the six marathons. And I'll list them out for folks who don't know. They're New York City, Boston, Chicago, London, Berlin, and Tokyo. I know you've ticked off at least New York City.
Yes, I ran New York City in 2018. I ran Chicago in 2014.
Okay.
I was signed up to run Berlin in 2020, and then the pandemic happened.
That's right.
And then in 2021, it was coming back, but the cases of COVID had started to increase again, so I didn't feel comfortable to travel out of the country. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do it. And then I just threw my name in the hat again for 2022. And surprisingly, I got picked to run Berlin. So I will be running Berlin this September.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So exciting.
Wow, that's right. Coming right up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as Sarah mentioned in the intro, you have a running coach. Now, did you hire the coach for this long marathon pursuit, or for other reasons?
Mainly, I've been running, doing well. And just as you get older, you get slower. And, I also have the issue of getting leg cramps for some reason. I have been trying to figure it out what is causing the leg cramps. So I hired a coach to see if she could kind of help me through that. And I would like, you know, try to see if I could do a under 5 hour marathon. Mm-hmm. So that was the main goal for that, just to see if I could get in. Really just figure out why I'm getting the leg cramps and get them under control, at least to be able to finish a marathon in under 5 hours. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So you mentioned the dreaded getting slower as we age thing.
Yes.
So you have found that to be the case. Is that like, how many marathons did you do in your 40s, and kind of how does your times compare?
Yes, I did my first marathon at 40. I did the Memphis St. Jude Marathon. Okay. And from the very first marathon, I was running really well and I started getting the leg cramps. So that has been with me, you know, since the beginning.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Wow. And but I was faster. So but yeah, just over time, I've just noticed that I've gotten slower. Just Sandy, my good running friend, we used to run together all the time. And then she moved away and then I moved away. So I didn't have somebody to run with. And I think that having a camaraderie of somebody to run with also can make you a faster runner as well.
Yeah, I feel you right there, Lorraine, because my best friend and running buddy, after 10 years, she left me and moved to Sweden.
Oh, wow.
I've never forgiven her. Hear that, Monica? So I'm interested about the coach and were there hydration issues? Is that what, you know, was causing the leg cramps, or how has the coach or have they helped you with that?
Yeah. So yes and no. I think that the hydration issues really was the part of it. When you're running, sometimes you don't realize that, you know, those little cups that they give you on the marathon course is not a lot to hydrate you. And then the other piece of it was the electrolytes, mm-hmm. getting, you know, taking in a lot of water, but I sweat a lot when I run. Even when I do any exercise, I sweat a lot. So I wasn't just losing fluids, I was also losing electrolytes. So she put together a plan for me to try and see, work out, making sure I'm getting the proper electrolytes. She sent me some suggestions on different products that I could use. And we tried it out in training for the marathon. And in training, it seemed to really work well. Like I did a couple of 20-mile runs that I did not get leg cramps at all.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes. But when I did the marathon in Montana, I think it was just a hot day. And maybe
it was so hot.
Yes,
so
hot. It was very hot. And I guess I just needed more electrolytes than what I was getting. So I still got leg cramps, but I was able to finish and it was not my worst time. So usually I'm just happy if I can finish the marathon.
Yeah.
So your mind, I know you've mentioned some changes in your running as far as your times and mm-hmm. some body issues. How about mentally? How has that changed as you've gone around to this age?
Yes. I guess the idea now of, again, it's not just for time, although I would like to finish a marathon in under 5 hours. It's not about that. It's just about being out there. It's about challenging myself. It's about doing things that, you know, other people aren't doing, being able to say, yes, I ran a marathon, and mm-hmm. just having different goals. Even when I go into a marathon, the goal is to finish sometimes in a certain time, but sometimes it's just to finish or just to have fun or stop along the way and take pictures. Mm-hmm. This past marathon in Missoula, I convinced another friend of mine, Jackie, to come and train with me. She lives in Texas. So we trained via text message and telephone calls, just saying, hey, I'm running this miles. And, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, she texts me, I'm getting ready to get started. I was like, yeah, me too. And we text when we're done. So that helps. And just to have different goals in mind, as opposed to just, because you're at some point, you're not going to keep getting PRs.
You know,
eventually you get to the point where it has to be about something else. So, you know, having somebody out there on a course with me, Jackie, she ran most of the marathon with me, even though she really could have run a much faster time, but she tried to stay with me as much as possible and encourage me. So, you know, just having that camaraderie and friendship and just being out there, I enjoy it.
That's awesome. So, Lorraine, what do you do in an attempt to stay injury free? I'm thinking your coach helps you on this, but I mean, is it foam rolling, strength training? Like what does the coach work with you on, and what have you found works for you?
Yes. One thing, I definitely do strength training. I've always loved doing strength training. So, and I found as I've gotten older that it makes a big difference. Stretching, that's something that I did not do when I first started running. I just would run and I would not stretch, and it seemed to work for me for a long time. But eventually I've gotten to the point that I need to stretch. So I do stretches before I go out for my run. And then when I finish my run, there's certain stretches, a series of stretches that I do, and it has helped me to stay injury free. And I also am a vegan. So because of the plant-based lifestyle that I lead, I really think that makes a big difference in not having so much inflammation in my body.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. How long ago did you go vegan?
It's been 10 years.
Wow.
Oh. And you noticed a change in how your body performed or how you felt after workouts? I mean, talk to us a little bit about that. I'm intrigued.
Yes. More specifically, I noticed a difference in how my body recovered. So just the recovery, when I would finish a run, I wouldn't be so sore. I could go out and run the next day without being sore. My body just felt light and, you know, I felt like I could just keep going. So that's the biggest thing that I've noticed in being vegan. The recovery is so much faster.
Yeah. Yeah. You were singing my husband Carl's song. And if you're ever down here in South Carolina, you swing by and y'all can swap recipes.
Definitely.
Now, you and your husband, TL, jumped into the world of triathlons about 3 years ago. So what has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, I loved it. And that is another goal besides running the six majors, world marathon majors. I would love to do another marathon. I have never been a strong swimmer. Mm. In fact, I actually had to take lessons to learn how to swim. It just wasn't something we did when I was growing up. So I just started. I said, well, let me get in. And I wasn't even a strong swimmer when I did the triathlon. But what convinced me is that specific triathlon was a sprint triathlon. And the pool, it was done in a pool as opposed to a lake. Mm-hmm. And it was only 5 feet deep. So I figured, all else fails, I can stand up and just walk.
Yeah.
Through it and get through it.
If it comes down to it, that's my plan B.
Yes, exactly.
So I take it you're over 5 feet tall, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I knew I would not drown.
And I take it did not come to that.
No.
Though, that you swim.
Yes, I was able to swim. I did much better than I expected to do. And I was able to get out the pool. And then I love to bike and I love to run, of course. So it just so happened it was the coldest day of the year. It was like in October. And it was like an unlikely freezing cold day. But
goodness.
But we got through it. And I enjoyed it. I can add that to my list of things that I've accomplished. So definitely would like to do another one.
Nice, nice. And you mentioned to me in an email that you had one on the docket, but the pandemic squashed that.
Yes, yes. It was actually the same triathlon I was going to do the following year. But and then now I don't even see it on the calendar now. So I'm not sure because of the pandemic, a lot of races and things have gone away. So I'll have to look for something.
Too bad. Yeah. So do you think it would be another pool one or what are you thinking?
Yeah, it'll be a pool one because I'm just getting back into trying to get my swimming up to par. Mm-hmm. So definitely be in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, speaking of dear TL, he is truly the greatest supporter cheerleader I've seen. I mean, oh my gosh, he greeted you at the Missoula Marathon finish line with a bouquet of flowers and this massive hug. It was such an awesome picture that Missoula Marathon shared on their Instagram. So talk about what his love and support at races does for you.
Oh, he is just the best guy. He's the best husband. He has always been very supportive of me, anything that I want to do. Even when I said, I think I like to run Berlin or I want to run Montana. Go ahead, sign up. Fine. You know, well, let's go. Let's do it. And then he's there, you know, on the course. He finds places to meet me. Sometimes he sees, are your legs cramping? That's okay. You can keep going. Get it done. You know, he really just cheers me on. He's my biggest fan, he always says, and he's definitely my biggest cheerleader. That's just who he is. He's a cheerleader by nature of all people, but he's definitely my biggest cheerleader.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow,
that's
he wonderful. Sounds great. I think you need to clone him, Lorraine.
Yes, several of my friends have said that to me.
honestly, it was just such a joy to meet the both of you in Montana.
Wow.
He just,
Yeah, we enjoyed it too. We enjoyed meeting up with you and being able to, be at your live podcast. But just the inspiration that you've given on through the podcast, you and Dimity and your other co-hosts is very encouraging to me. It keeps me, you know, keeps me going.
thank you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
Well, looking forward, Lorraine, do you allow yourself to think about what you're running and your possibly triathloning might look like after you complete the world majors?
I think I've just really focused on trying to complete the world majors, especially because they're by lottery. So I think what I'm do is every year that I try and put in for one, if I get picked, then that's what it will be for the year. And if I don't get picked, then I can focus on a triathlon. So I think that's what I'm going to do for next year. I'm going to try and put into for London and Tokyo. And if I get picked for either one of those, then I'll be focusing on that for the year. And if I don't, then I'll put in, I'll try for another triathlon.
Well, great. Well, we will be cheering for you, you know, across the internet. And we wish you all the best next month in Berlin.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me on the podcast.
Thanks. Take care, Lorraine. Bye-bye. Our 60-something runner is next. We have 62-year-old Mary Beth Frericks. She's a certified executive coach, a mother of a college student, three grown stepchildren, and two grandbabies. She lives across the river from me here in Portland, Oregon, and I've had the good fortune to hang out with her at several of our running retreats. Thanks for joining us, Mary Beth.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So, Mary Beth, you and I are of an age, as they say, and I'd love to hear about your running background.
I've run my whole life. I'm really lucky. I started in middle school, and then in high school, I switched to tennis because I thought it'd be a better life skill. Crazy as that was.
Familiar.
Yeah. And then in college, I just started running about at 19 and just haven't stopped since. I run my whole adult life. Yeah.
So did someone tell you like, oh, tennis will be a better life school? Like what high schooler is thinking like, oh, I need to find something I can do my entire life?
Well, you know, my family were, my dad was just a great golfer, and it was that, oh yeah. Okay. Well, tennis, I should learn how to do this. And so I just decided, and I actually love to play tennis. I just haven't played, you know, I played on vacations and those kinds of things, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Cause I know that we're, you know, growing up here, there was a women's tennis team, very small, and a women's golf team, also very small, but that was it. So, right. You know, there really wasn't a lot to, you know, encourage you to do much else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. All right.
Well, but now, so now you've got a lot going on in your life. How do you juggle the work run balance?
You know, I'm fortunate to know that my number one value is physical health and my well-being. And I live by that value. I schedule my runs. I schedule my workouts. It's top of mind, as well as, you know, my well-being, my mental health, emotional health, spiritual health. It's all wrapped in my number one value. And that's been, you know, that just makes me get up and go. I live by that. And it's really been helpful.
That's awesome. So describe your racing life these days.
Oh, these days it's been pretty slow since Hilton Head. My goodness. I had such a good run at, I was lucky to go to the AMR retreat in Hilton Head right before COVID. In fact, yes. It was, you know, we all flew home and I think we were all stuck at home.
Yep.
And then I ran the Portland Half Marathon last year, and I was actually laughing at myself because I listened to a book versus music, and my time was super slow.
Oh, no.
I'm teaching myself, you know, maybe I should listen to books. I should really get back to faster beat music for sure.
Yeah.
And I loved all your programs. I think I've done all of them.
Oh, your that's virtual awesome. Ones.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And so that's kept me going for sure. It's really helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, so you must have been listening to music at our Hilton Head retreat race because you were very speedy. And don't you try to sandbag because I think that would be your nature. So have you always been that fast? How has age affected your speed and perhaps your desire to hone it?
That's a great question. I'll start with the fact that I noticed I have slowed down in the last couple of years because I don't have anyone to run with. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I got involved with AMR is to meet other people, and that's just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I can go out and run, usually keep pretty good pace with the pacer, whoever I'm with, which mm-hmm. I'm really lucky. However, I have slowed down quite a bit. And I think a little bit of it is age. And the other is, you know, I just don't have a running group right now that I'm running with. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've stayed pretty steady. I qualified for Boston, and unfortunately it was the same year that the whole lottery system changed. So, you know, it's a sign up and then they changed it. So I never got to run it.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, all the different races and stuff I've done, and my speed has always been anywhere probably from around in the eights, I think. You know, that kind of pace. My best ever was the first leg of the Hood to Coast one year. I did 6:41s.
Wow.
All downhill.
And believe me, I've never had my tone right. Never been the same.
Okay, I was forgetting I had a moment blank.
Yeah. You were really excited and I just got away from you.
Walking leg two or three.
I'm sure. But you still, that's still an accomplishment, because you think about how you have to really pace yourself going downhill. And it's still an accomplishment, very much so. Yeah, but I hear you. You're singing my language, because I began noticing things started to really slow for me in my late 50s, like a couple of years after menopause. And it's just, you know, it's, you just have to kind of roll with it and appreciate it in some ways. But besides the speed change and everything, in what other ways have you, do you feel like you've changed or evolved as a runner?
You know, I also am pretty much a plant-based individual. I took the E. Cornell plant-based certification program about five years ago. And I probably haven't had any form of red meat for 10 years. And so I still have fish and chicken, you know, maybe once a week, but not much. And I would say the biggest thing that's happened is it's kept my metabolism going. Yeah, more clean diet. I don't do dairy. You know, and just the cleaner the diet, I think it's kept me going. I just feel better. I don't feel sluggish as much. So I would say that my diet as well has really contributed to my running and feeling good.
Well, I want to ask you a follow-up question to that, because like I mentioned, my husband is primarily vegan like you. He will have fish or chicken. But when I tried to do it, I lost so much weight that, you know, I just couldn't sustain it. And people kept telling me to eat the two things that I can't stand, which are avocados and sweet potatoes. And I've talked to a couple of other people with the same thing. So we'll maybe have to talk later about that. But is that something that you had to struggle with, or?
I've noticed it a little bit over the last two or three years. I'm pretty strong with nut butters, you know, so form of protein. I also took Ellie's class on nutrition and tried to get some hints about how I could bring more, you know, healthy fats into my diet and a little bit more protein. And so I'll add, whenever I have oatmeal, I'll add, you know, a nut butter to it for sure. Okay. You know, just little things like that. Unfortunately, for you, I really love avocados and sweet potatoes.
Dang, it's another one. Yeah,
I know. We'll just have to figure something out, though, that'll work for you.
Yeah. Well, talking about moving to sort of injuries, which I've been, knock on wood, not had as many as I've gotten older, but how do you stay injury free, and have you been successful in avoiding injuries?
I've been very successful. I have been injured free. I am committed to doing strength training twice a week. I do TRX and Rip Trainer. And I've always been a strong stretcher. I stretch right out of the shower, dry off, and I do stretching. I do sit-ups. You know, I do lots of yoga kind of at that point. And I love to get massages. If I could have a massage once a week, I would be in heaven.
Gosh, separated at birth. Yeah, that I always thought if I ever made a ton of money, I'd just have a masseuse on call.
Absolutely.
So I have to ask, so do you put on clothes to do your stretching and yoga post shower, or are we talking naked?
I put clothes back on. I just have, okay. I just have my, you know, light sweats and a light t-shirt. I just stretch in. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. I had a visual. I just want to know how to clothe you in my visual. So
family show, Sarah, family show.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So Mary Beth, I know that you enjoy skiing. So how do you work that sport and maybe other ones into the mix? Like, what's a typical week of workouts look like for you? You mentioned strength training twice a week.
I'm probably running 3 to 4 days a week, strength training twice. I do a lot of walking, especially since COVID, because all my friends walk now. So I am up in the hills. So we get lots of the hills in up here. Uh-huh. Hiking in the winter, I've always been a season pass holder. So I ski up at Mount Hood Meadows, and I'll scoot up in the morning and just like do 12, 13 runs and then come back and work in the afternoon.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's really how I look at my day or my weeks for sure.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So what have been some of the biggest surprises or lessons you've learned about yourself through running?
I would say one of the lessons is that what's most important is not how fast I am, but I can keep moving. Is really also a personal goal, is I just want to be able to keep walking as much and as long as I can. Mm-hmm. I also know it's really made a difference in my mental game and how I approach my life and how I approach my work. You know, if I don't take care of myself, I can't be a great wife, a great coach, a great mom. You know, I know that. Mm-hmm. So the biggest surprise is I've just really been able to hold on to that and haven't let go of that.
That's wonderful. Nice. Yeah. Nice. And it sounds like then you envision yourself continuing, if not to run, to always be active throughout the rest of your life. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'm very interested in the whole body of work around the Blue Zone and how people live. You know, 100 tribe is really important. So hats off to you, Sarah and Dimity, for AMR. Mm. You know, you guys have created an amazing tribe of human beings. It's just been so fun.
You.
Yeah, retreats are great. My only plug is I hope you go to new places too.
Oh, you got to join us in. You got to go out to Redmond with us. I think that is going to just be, it's just going to be so fantastic and different than the rest of our retreats.
Yes, I'm going to sign up for it for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because if you've gotten off of Highway 97, you'll find out that Redmond is just such a charming town. And that hotel we're staying at, oh my gosh. And if we do the takeover of it, it's just going to be, you know, the mother runner crib. And I imagine doors open and running back and forth to other people's rooms.
Until 8:30 at night when everything is dark.
Sarah, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
For sure.
Oh my goodness. Well, hope to see you before Central Oregon retreat next June, Mary Beth. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, well, maybe we're short-sighted, but our final runner is in her 70s. Diane Young Morris is a mother runner in Stockbridge, Michigan. Diane owns a yoga studio. She's a certified yoga instructor and yoga therapist. And like Mary Beth, our last guest, I know Diane IRL. She and her grown daughter, Julie, were part of our retreat this last February on Hilton Head Island. So welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Good. So before we jump into running, let's sit with yoga for a few. So share your yoga background with us. And both Ellison and I want to know what a yoga therapist is.
Okay, well, I've been a yoga instructor since 2003. Mm. And yeah, it's been a long time. So I teach, you know, I taught at, while I was still working full-time before I retired, I would teach evenings and early mornings in a wellness center. I also taught at the hospital that I worked at in the evenings. Cardiology is my background. So I taught a class for cardiac patients. Mm-hmm. And then when yoga therapy started to be a thing, I entered a program at a local hospital for yoga therapy. So yoga therapy is working one-on-one with someone to work on, you know, it's not so much a class or movement. We do a lot with meditation, breathing, you know, just trying to help people reduce symptoms that they might have. We're not diagnosing or treating anything. We're just trying to help people live a better life.
Okay.
Through yoga.
Nice. So I guess getting back to running, then when did running enter your life? How long have you been at it?
You know, running entered my life kind of late. I was a race walker for 20 years. And I didn't start running until I was in my 60s, my early 60s.
Wow.
Gee, that's cool. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about yoga again, because I remember back about 15 years ago when I was running, starting to really run in Portland, we took a yoga class, my best friend and I, and one of the instructors had been a runner, was now a yoga devotee, and she kept trying to talk us out of running because she said it wasn't good for us. So I'm wondering, how do you feel the two activities complement each other?
Oh, I just, you know, really think they complement each other wonderfully. You know, I run, and I'm basically a trail runner these days because I find it's easier on my body. So keeping that cardiovascular fitness up and the balance and being able to move over the trails is really important. It helps my yoga, makes me stronger, but my yoga then complements my running by helping with my balance and my flexibility, my range of motion, which, you know, as we get older, even though I've been doing yoga for many, many years, I'm not as flexible as I was. So I think they go well together.
Good.
Hand in hand.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that. And it makes perfect sense too.
So Diane, how did you get involved in running, and particularly trail running? You know, I think that can be kind of intimidating for some people, particularly women.
Yes, it can be. So I was, like I said, I race walked for 20 years, and I race walked a marathon in 2011 in Columbus, Ohio, which is an amazing marathon. But I was having a lot of repetitive use pain in my sciatica and my low back. I was in physical therapy while I was training. I was on, you know, prescription ibuprofen. I was in a lot of pain. But back then, I also didn't really do any cross training, you know, other than doing my yoga. And I don't think that was healthy for my body. So after the marathon, I stopped for a couple of years. And one of my friends that I knew through work at the hospital asked me to participate in a Women Run the D in Detroit. And it was benefiting women with heart disease. I said, oh, I don't run anymore. And she said, well, you can walk it. And I thought, all right, I can walk a 5K. I can do that. So I started doing that, and I ended up walk running. And I found that walk running didn't hurt my, you know, tender spots. So I did that 5K, and I did a walk run. And then I did, you know, several after that. I did a 10 miler even though I said I wouldn't do more than a 5K. Then when I turned, so I did my marathon when I was 60, that was my goal. So when I turned 65, I was doing a 5K locally, and I thought, I want to run the whole thing. Heck with this, you know, run walking. So I did. And so I had always love the trails. We moved 7 years ago out into the country away from the, when I retired away from the suburbs of Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I like to hike. And then I don't really know how I became aware of trail running, but it just was in my orbit. And I thought, well, I'm on the trail. Maybe I'll try to run. So I read up on it and looked at stuff. And so that's how I got into trail running a little bit. And then in 2018, I became aware of Trail Sisters. They started a local group. Yeah, they started a local group in my area, which I joined. And that really was a game changer. I mean, I was very intimidated, but the group is so not intimidating. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a no drop and all different abilities. So I've really met the nicest people. And really, that was the big beginning of my trail running, where I'm doing it, you know, all the time now. So
yeah, that's awesome that you mentioned Trail Sisters, because just the other day we were having an editorial meeting and I told Dimity, I'm like, oh, I think in September I'm going to try to get, you know, one of the founders of Trail Sisters on the podcast. So I'm glad to hear an endorsement.
Yeah, she would be great. And I'm going to a Trail Sisters retreat next week in Boulder.
Awesome.
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So Diane, what's a typical week of exercise like for you?
Well, right now I'm coming off an injury. So I'm just getting back. I finished physical therapy and I'm just getting back to running. Right now I'm running 3 days a week, two during the week, and a longer run on the weekend on the trails. During the week, I don't always get on the trails. I run on some dirt roads. I use my Peloton bike, or not a Peloton, Peloton app, but I have a spin bike, or I bike outside. I do my yoga and I try to fit in some strength training. So before that, before I hurt myself, I had a running coach, which I don't have right now. And I was training for a 24-mile endurance hike that was in May. And then I was going to do a marathon, a trail marathon in August. So I was doing a lot more running. On the weekend, I would hike one day and run one day. But the hike is what kind of did me in with the knee pain. So I'm not doing the marathon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I was running, you know, 4 days a week then. And I'm doing cross training. And sometimes I run in the pool. I also do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have been a pretty avid racer, because Sarah mentioned something to me about a photo of you doing a race. It looked like a night race.
Yes. That's a local race we have. Well, it's about an hour from my house, but I used to live near the park, and they have a night race, which I love. It's only a 5K, but yeah, I really did it last year for the first time, because I was doing Michigan Trail Ragnar and I had never run at night. So I really wanted to get that experience. And it's just a really fun run. And I did it again this year. And, you know, once you hit 70, it's a lot easier to get first in your age group. I have, you know, been on the podium several times this year. Sometimes I'm the only one in my age group, but not always.
No. So
it's kind of fun, because I'm so slow that was never a thing.
Yeah. See, but you must have crossed paths at least on our, you know, Facebook page with Penny Knoll, who was on the podcast last month. And, you know, she's trying to qualify for Boston. She's in her early 70s as well. And, you know, she said it's still pretty intense trying to qualify for Boston, that she doesn't, you know, whatever the age cutoff is, or time cutoff, you know, she still thinks she needs like a 2-3 minute cushion. So, you know, there are 70 plus chicks out there.
There are. And I think they tend to be more road runners than trail runners. Because I find if I do, like I said, I will still do maybe a 5K. I won't do any more than that on roads. Then you've got the speedy ladies who, you know, are just have been running their whole lives. They're natural runners. I'm not a natural runner. And especially, and when I was in my 60s, you know, there were always a lot faster people. I think on the trails, I haven't found quite as much of the people in my age group.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, then does that mean that you've had to kind of tinker with your headspace to adjust your running expectations?
Yes. You know what? I think the headspace is worse than the physical part.
Really?
Well, maybe. I mean, it goes together. In my head, I mean, you know this. In your head, you're the same person you were when you were 20, right?
Yes.
even though you know you're not 20. And I wake up in the morning and I have aches and pains. And I know that it takes a lot longer for me in my brain. I know it takes a lot longer for me to recover, but it's still hard to accept that. Mm. I'm not competitive as far as, you know, I mean, I'm competitive with myself only in that I run to keep fit and to clear my mind. So, you know, I try to stay where I think I should be just for where I'm at. But I mean, like if I'm on the trails, I'm like, okay, it's a race. You're behind me. You want to go around me? Go ahead. You know, and I'm not competitive that way, but I still have these expectations that why am I so tired if I did a long run, you know, and I just am toast the rest of the day, or, you know, why do I have all these aches and pains? I mean, I know why I do, but I feel like it shouldn't affect me, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I'm always kind of surprised when I'm listening to a podcast and there's, you know, a runner who's in her 30s or 40s and, you know, people who have been running all their lives and they say, oh, you know, now I'm in my 30s or my 40s and I just take so much longer to recover. And I'm thinking, oh, if they're having a hard time to recover, you know, I need to give myself some grace. Yeah. So I find that I think the hardest part is really, even though I know in my brain, really taking that to heart. Not that I don't take rest days, but I need to, I think, give myself a little more grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you mentioned, Diane, about aches and pains, and then you said that you think your most recent injury was due actually to hiking, not the running. I mean, what do you, other than yoga, how do you think you are, you know, what are you doing to sidestep injury?
Well, I think the hike, because the hiking and running together, because I was doing a lot of miles. I was doing a lot of miles hiking and then back to back with running. So I don't think my body, I don't think my body liked that. I have an instability in my pelvis and that's what's causing my knee, causing my knee pain. It's not my knee. Uh-huh. So what I do, I mean, I have my yoga, of course, and I teach several days a week and have my own practice, but, I do spin. I do go in the water. I'm not much of a swimmer, but I will run in the water. I'm fortunate where one of the places I teach at gives me a membership and I have access to a pool. Or I will use a kickboard and work out my hips and my legs and my glutes, which I really need to strengthen. And then, like I said, I do some strength training, not as much as I probably should, but I'm trying since PT to be really conscious of that. And I really want to amp up my strength training over the winter. Even though I run all year round, I don't run as much in the winter because of the weather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're forgiven for that, living in Michigan. Yeah, we'll grant you that.
Well, you said you're running in your 60s, so I'm assuming you haven't been running for more than, you know, 10 to 15 years. Have you ever had regrets that maybe you didn't sort of dig deeper into it as a younger woman?
Oh, sure. You know, being 70, when I was a kid, you know, it was before Title IX, and there was nothing. There was nothing. You were not as encouraged to do anything physical. You know, I felt awkward. I hated gym class. You know, but I would be so envious of what my brothers were doing, you know, and I'd try to emulate them a little bit, to their dismay, and, you know, try to play football with them and basketball and, you know, as their little sister. And then, you know, I mean, I went through the whole 80s aerobics thing. So, you know, my whole adult life, I've enjoyed being physical. Running was always really hard for me, and I always wished I could do it, and I thought I couldn't. That's why I turned to race walking. And to be honest, when I started running, I could race walk faster than I could run. But I do regret that I hadn't started it sooner. I regret that I didn't have that support out there to encourage me to do it. And therefore, you know, confidence, I think, would have come with some other support. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So, Diane, how do you see the rest of your running days playing out? I mean, do you think that next year you'll try the trail marathon, or what do you see? What do you envision?
You know, it's really hard right now. I'm feeling a little bit discouraged, and I'm a little afraid of going to Boulder. I mean, I know I can hike. It was going to be, you know, it's mountains. We don't have mountains in Michigan. I'm trying not to get too upset, but I'm feeling disappointed because I was supposed to be really getting stronger and working on hills and, you know, all of that before I go. So I'm trying to tell myself it will be fine. And looking forward, I think that I have to be kind of honest with myself and not go for those really long distances. I won't say I won't do a half marathon. You know, the last one I did was a, you know, COVID shutdown times. I did a just a virtual one. But I've never really thought that the long distances were for me. It's just that I like to have goals to work towards. So I think I have to pull back a little bit. I'm hoping doing some more cross training and strength training this winter will help me be a stronger runner and hiker next year. But I still plan on running. You know, people will often ask me, well, geez, you're 70. How much longer are you going to do this? And my, you know, and I have fallen, you know, so it's like, oh, you're going to break your hip. So my answer is I'll run until I can't. And when I feel like I can't, I will hike until I can't. I love being on the trails. I love being outside. I love being active. You know, it helps me mentally and physically. So I think because of this injury I've got right now, I mean, I will never say never, but I think next year I will pull back a little bit from the miles, but still run and maybe add a little bit more hiking and a little less running next season, but we'll see.
Good answer.
Thank you so much for sharing, Diane. This was really lovely to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Take good care.
Okay, bye.
You know, Sarah, what I found so interesting about all of these, all three of these women, or four of them, excuse me, was that the common themes, and, you know, I kept hearing about strength training or, you know, other kind of core training, and then running with someone, you know, several of them mentioned having, you know, like, you know, my person moved away or, you know, something. And then the diet, you know, two of them are vegan, which I found very interesting. So it's interesting how over these, you know, essentially how many decades we have some commonalities.
Exactly. You must be able to see the notes that I've been copiously keeping while they've been talking, and I'm like making like marks so that I'll know, like, theme, play this up in the show notes.
We've known each other too long, Sarah.
No, not too long. And oh my goodness. Well, to enjoy discounts from all sorts of our marketing partners like Noon, Goo, Handful, Curex, Kinesis Sunscreen, and more, as well as many of the discount codes from a lot of our podcast advertisers, they're all collected in one easy to find place. Head over to our website, anothermotherrunner.com, and then to find that page with all those deals on it, click on the word about in the top navigation, which are the words that run across the top of our homepage, and click on exclusive discounts in the drop-down menu. So again, go to anothermotherrunner.com, click on About toward the top of the page, and you'll see in the drop-down there's exclusive discounts. And it'll take you to this magical place that has all these ways to save 15, 20, 25%. It's really some great deals waiting for you. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Mador from Fire on the Bluff. Many happy miles.